in a beautiful state.
It's Brian's World.
So I bet you've been wondering where I've been and what I've been up to. I don't really post on IG like that. I do post on Twitter fairly frequently. So if you've connected with me on Twitter, then, you know, you ain't necessarily looking for me, but maybe you were looking for the podcast. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was too. I ain't even gonna lie to you. This has been a very long 2-week break. It's been like, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, something like that. I guess I should have did the math before I started talking about it. But either way, that's the perfect place to start with season 7. Because the truth of the matter is, when I stepped away in August and said I'd be back in like a week or two, I had no clue what was around the corner for real. And it wasn't anything crazy. I don't want you to think that I need any assistance or anything, or that I'm in an emergency situation. But in fact, it was multiple emergency situations, almost every day, like clockwork. And it all started at 7 p.m. in Baltimore. This is Live BW, Season 7, log title, 7 p.m. in Baltimore. What is anxiety? I'm Brian James. Welcome to episode 168. This is my story. This is our story.
We're going to war.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not, but they
are. No, I was about to say, that's the big topic.
It's hard to believe that after another day of doing God knows what, I'm already at the final hours of the day. Now, I'd love to describe the bright stars that greet me as I walk out of the station's door, or the eerie feeling of walking around the building, turning off all the lights. It's like a small reminder of COVID's effect on our world. Tripping over tumbleweeds will naturally make you worry about a drought, you know? But forget all of that. This is all about what's going on in the mind, not the economy. It's about what crawls and cries underneath my brown skin. The joys that I struggle to embrace and the pain that I feel so thoroughly. That feeling of a heavy person sitting on my chest. Actually, not that heavy. Just heavy enough to feel like the walls around my heart are caving in. Yeah, that works. Like a toddler sitting on your sternum. Back to the station. It's 7 p.m. in Baltimore. I signed out and I did my COVID protocols before pushing that little green button to open the door so I can take my first steps into the Baltimore night. Now, I worked really hard for my car. It is a dream car, for me at least. And she's a beautiful thing. Her name is Cora. She's my car, imaginary friend, and imaginary assistant. Unfortunately, I will spend the next 22 minutes gasping for air in her arms, worried if I'm tiptoeing the Grim Reaper's clutch. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Anxiety. Most nights, I talk to my dad on the way home. His voice, it helps my anxiety in a weird way. Like, we get so lost in, like, the memories and our frustrations with Washington sports. We get so lost in it that I forget all about anxiety's clutch. Now, the past few weeks have been tough, though. The pain's been slightly unbearable, but I'm here. I've gotten in the habit of just reminding myself that everything's okay, like, enough times to make it home. And it's crazy because my dad has no clue that I'm going through this on the other side of the phone. It's a chemical journey, honestly.
Well, the brain is made up of billions of nerve cells called neurons. And these nerve cells carry information, and information from one nerve cell to another. The nerve cells don't touch each other, but they have in between them what we call neurotransmitters. So these are chemicals that carry information from one nerve cell to another. So it's been found that in some situations, when the neurotransmitters or these chemicals are low, people feel depressed. Serotonins are found in the brain, central nervous system, and also in the gastrointestinal tract. In the central nervous system, which is mostly the brain, when the serotonins are low, people feel depressed, down, draggy, and all the symptoms of depression. dopamine, the effect of dopamine is it gives you energy, it pushes you, gives you the drive, makes you active. So when dopamine is high, people become psychotic. So they hear voices, they're acting really fast and hyperactive, talking a lot, cannot sleep. So their body is on overdrive. Other neurotransmitters like norepinephrine or noradrenaline. So remember the flight and fight mode. So when you have adrenaline, when it is high, people are moving fast. They're doing things normally. But the flight and fight mode is high adrenaline that pours out when you're threatened or when you are frightened. But generally, low levels of adrenaline will also make people feel depressed and sad. So most of the medications work with these three neurotransmitters. But also there are other ones that things like GABA. It's called gamma-aminobutyric acid, GABA, G-A-B-A. When GABA is low, people become anxious. They become nervous. When GABA is high, people are calm. But the same pathway carries depression and anxiety. So that's why a lot of the times, people who are depressed also feel anxious.
It's the beautiful side of such a horrible feeling to me. And I guess it's because I just love science so much. The silver lining of the pain is the science of it all. We may face some rough moments, but we are still masterpieces, and that's always something to appreciate. That was my psychiatrist, Dr. Theodore Osweiler, during an interview last season. We also had a conversation about, essentially what I had been dealing with starting around the same time that I took that two-week turn, whatever month break from the podcast. You see, every day at 7 o'clock, including Saturday and Sunday, I would get the worst anxiety attack. I would be driving. So, that just makes everything worse anyway. Driving by myself, getting on 695 and 95 North, two busy highways. Like if you live in the DMV, live in that area, and I just said those two highways after saying anxiety attack, you probably already like, yeah, nah, he was wilding. This could have been crazy. This could have been bad. And it really could have been bad. And in fact, looking back now, it wasn't just the podcast that halted around that same time. Like, those attacks took a lot out of my life in general during that time. I just always felt tired, out of breath. My chest was always hurting. Like, even when it wasn't 7 o'clock, it was like my body was just always trying to recover and then prepare for the inevitable. Me sitting in that driver's seat, scratching my leg from all the nervous energy that was building up as I pulled out of the radio station. It was like the first 30 seconds of me getting in the car. Just scratching my leg, I feel the sweat dripping down the side of my face. I open up my contacts or whatever, or my recent calls, click my dad, his name is Q Papa, in my phone, because we frat brothers, I still like that part of my life. Like, I think that's really dope. To be able to share, never mind. I call my dad, and all of this is within, I would say, maybe the first minute of me leaving the radio station. And by the time I get on the highway, which usually takes maybe a minute and a half, I'm going through it. I mean, my dad's talking. I feel his voice, but I don't necessarily hear it. I don't necessarily process it. I'm just kind of holding on to it without listening to it, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but just imagine drowning, just reaching out to touch somebody or something, and you can't really see. You don't want to open your eyes for whatever reason, just for this particular example, if you will. But you find an arm, more like a hand, and then it becomes a full arm, And then it becomes a shoulder. And then it's like, well, this is a person. And you keep on pulling yourself up until finally you get your head above water. That's kind of how it was with me and my dad's voice. And he had no clue, absolutely no clue, that I was dealing with this on the other side of the phone. And honestly, he still doesn't. I mean, until he hears the podcast. And then I guess, well, hey, Dad. But that's what I was dealing with. And by the time I would get home, I would be so out of breath. I'd be so done for. My chest would be in so much pain. Like, a lot of times I'd just fall onto the couch and just kind of loke out for a little bit, just vibe out. And then I get into gear to finish off the night with a little bit of productivity. Then I lay down and start thinking about the car ride tomorrow, and then just everything just starts to build back up. And then tomorrow's here and all of that happens again. And that was happening from August until like maybe December. All of that. Like talking to doctors, talking to my therapist, talking to, of course, my psychiatrist. You just heard from him. To my primary care doctor about it. Other people that I know who dealt with anxiety. Like just trying to make sense of all of this. You know what I mean? I mean, it got really bad. I'm talking about to the point where the edges of my vision, you know, I'd be on a highway and the edges of my vision just get black. The darkness was like closing in almost, you know? It's weird. And it's a very rough experience for anybody who has experienced or continues to experience that painful kiss of anxiety. It's tough. She means so much to me, talking about anxiety. So much that I've been writing books about her. This whole time I thought I was a romantic fiction writer, but I've been writing about anxiety since 2016. Sure, I decorate the pain a bit with beautiful, loving characters and their joyous moments. But if you look closely, even Austin Arrington is running from anxiety. In a weird way, I think that writing about it has actually helped me to stop running from it. And it's pushed me to understand it. For me, the journey of understanding it meant that I had to understand and I guess come face to face, you know. That might sound a little dramatic, but I did have to dive into what social anxiety is and really understand what I was facing and kind of what still bothers me today. We'll do that on the other side. Live BW.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Dream job, and you believe it's because you're not intelligent or competent enough. You were ousted from that friend group, and you believe it's because you're not interesting or funny enough. Our fear of rejection is really a fear of being less than we want to be, less than we think we should be, or less than we believe society wants us to be. And over time, this belief system can develop into social anxiety disorder. When a person has social anxiety disorder, they become overly concerned about other people, scrutinizing them, evaluating them harshly, and ultimately rejecting them, so much so that they begin to construct their lives around avoiding rejection. Because if you can avoid being noticed by other people, then those people have fewer data points on which to reject you. Now, social anxiety disorder is one of the most common mental illnesses in the world. Many estimates put it second only to depression. In the United States alone, more than 12% of Americans at some point in their lives will have diagnosable social anxiety disorder. That's roughly 40 million people. Now, worldwide, the estimates are lower. They're 4%, which in and of itself is interesting. But based on current population estimates, 4% of the world's roughly 300 million people that will potentially have social anxiety disorder at some point in their lifetime. And despite how prevalent it is, it's widely misunderstood, widely misdiagnosed, and often missed entirely. This is because several myths about social anxiety pervade our culture. The first myth is that people with social anxiety...
All right, you can stop it.
On it.
Thank you. For me, it's about this never-ending journey and the thousands of stops along the way that for majority of my life have never felt perfect. Never felt like places that I really, I don't even want to use the word belong, because I feel like belong is kind of dramatic, but I just put myself in a lot of environments where I was constantly putting that pressure on myself to be something that I wasn't in order to survive in said environment. And, you know, these disagreements with, if you will, with these environments that I had become a part of and kind of started working in that were beyond uncomfortable. We'll just say they weren't for me. Everything is not for everybody. But these environments, it wasn't just because I didn't like them. It's because I just didn't agree with it on like a soul level, like internally. Our values, man. That's what defines us. That's what puts us in certain rooms that we belong to be in, or that we belong in, I should say. And that's the thing that we point to, those values, those are the things that we point to that kind of say, okay, we belong with this crowd, we don't belong with that crowd, or we belong with that crowd, we don't belong with this crowd. It's like those, when the argument is based on values, it's costly. It's really costly. And you may start off that journey of fighting against the current of your environment. You may start off very strong, but at some point, at least for me, it made social interaction in general very weird, tough, calculated, you know? And that's what creates that social anxiety. A 2017 research journal posted by Cambridge University Press, authored by Alice Norton and Marie Abbott, states that research suggests that the risk of developing SAD, or social anxiety disorder, is increased by over-controlling, critical and cold parents, an insecure attachment style, aversive social/peer experiences, emotional maltreatment, and to a lesser extent, other forms of childhood maltreatment and adversity. They continue, these factors may lead to post-traumatic reactions, distorted negative self-imagery, and internalized shame-based schemas that subsequently maintain SAD symptomatology. It is likely that SAD develops via a complex interplay of biological and environmental factors, and that multiple etiological pathways underlie the development of the disorder. Now, yeah, I know. What the hell does that mean? It's just a bunch of big words. Hey, Cora?
Yes, Brian.
Let's zoom in on aversive.
On it.
Now, Google says it's causing strong dislike or disinclination. So I don't think it's jumping to conclusions to say that part of the social anxiety that I've experienced, and probably you too, or somebody else that you may know, some of that comes from dwelling or forcing yourself to dwell in environments that you don't necessarily agree with. Things that you know naturally aren't the best for you, or naturally just ain't your thing. And I mean, you know, the answer to that probably isn't to find places that you're always comfortable, because then you'll never grow. But maybe our minds can only really handle, or manage, I should say, only a few of those spirit-wrenching environments. Maybe it's only a matter of time before all of our bodies, all of our minds, yearn and beg for us to live out our truth, to stop wearing a mask, stop going to places where we have to wear masks. Well, wait a minute. Not the COVID mask. I'm talking about that mask that we put on that makes every day look like a sunny Saturday without having to work all day. It makes it look like everything's okay, even when it's not. That mask. Maybe our bodies and our minds, maybe it wants us to go places where we don't have to wear that thing, you know? I don't feel qualified. Like, I don't feel like I felt when I first started this podcast. I don't feel qualified to give you tips and try to help direct your life in a certain direction. The only thing I can do is just tell you what I've been dealing with. And I can honestly say that when it comes to SAD, sitting down with my therapist, who shall remain nameless, I gotta protect that. But sitting down with her, organizing a concerned effort to really focus on understanding the role that the environment plays in social anxiety disorder, those environmental factors that are mentally punitive, if you will, really focusing on those and focusing on creating the energy, the desire, and the courage to step out of those environments and step into things that I really do enjoy, like airplanes, video games, writing, obviously. I love writing. And not just radio and media, but a more concerned and concise view of radio and media. I'm not necessarily someone who enjoys the messy side of the industry that I work in, the drama, the gossip and all of that, but I do enjoy the informational side. I do enjoy the news side. I enjoy the lifestyle coverage, if you will. What's hot on Hollywood, what's hot on TV, best sports teams, that's my thing. And even when it comes to commercial radio, I enjoy the music commentary side of the game, as opposed to trying to put on a show for 5 hours for somebody, or for you, I should say. That concerned effort with my therapist to discover all of that has helped me, because it's given me more places where I felt like I had a voice and more places where I felt like I existed.
See, joy is always in process. It's under construction. It is in constant approach, alive and well in the doing of what we're fashioned to do and enjoying it. Now, the easiest way to dissect success is through gratitude, giving thanks for that which we do have, for what is working, appreciating the simple things we sometimes take for granted. We give thanks for these things, and that gratitude reciprocates, creating more to be thankful for. It's really simple, and it works. Our life's a verb. We try our best. We don't always do our best.
That's another thing that's tough for me, and that has been tough for me. And it really hit me right around the time where I was like, we're going to take a break from the podcast. It all just came crashing in, yo. And that's a unhealthy, diabolical, unsanctioned, and deadly marriage to perfection. Let's take a break. I need something to drink.
Live in a beautiful state.
Suck it up.
It's not a big deal.
Snap out.
Just get over it.
We've all heard it. But if you're experiencing extreme stress, it's not just in your head. It can affect your entire body because toxic stress can hurt us physically without us even knowing it. If you've lost a job, worry about your next meal, or have trouble making it through the day, if you're feeling the effects of stress, we can help. Text STRESS to 211-211 to find a solution.
The physical appearance that we don, if you will, that was so dramatic. That was like the craziest way to say that. let's just say our physical appearance has a direct effect on mental health, or at least how we see ourselves, I should say, has a direct effect on our mental health. And just like everyone else, you know, there are certain things that I have pointed out as imperfections in myself, things that I'm just now getting used to, or being forced to get used to, I should say. And it's been a significant change for me over the last 2 years or so. It started during the pandemic, essentially. And it's something that I'm not even really ready to get all the way into, honestly. But thinking about it led me to wonder and want to know more about the physical appearances, or our physical appearance, and the effect that it can have on our minds And that's how I stumbled over what experts call
the spotlight effect.
Something that described my SAD very well. And I wonder if it does the same for you. Here's the improvement pill from YouTube.
We humans often overestimate how much others care about our negative and also positive actions. We think that the spotlight is on us, that everyone is looking at us and judging us, when in reality, the large majority of people simply don't care. And this is a very, very important concept that you need to internalize if you are struggling with social anxiety.
Oh, wait, why you stop? Keep going. Quora, play.
On it.
See, the main reason we feel anxious around others is because we feel like they're watching us and judging us. We're scared to act how we want, to be ourselves, because we don't want to risk people looking down on us. We don't want others to dislike us. But in reality, the large majority of people simply don't care that much about you. I know this sounds like a bad thing, but it's just human nature.
And though I'm not ready to fully dive into my imperfections, and you're probably not as well, part of what has helped me in recent months and recent years with all of this is just saying I don't give a f***. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say f***. Well, I kind of meant to say f***, because it's that f***ing serious to me. And part of it is a people-pleasing nature that I've done a lot of work to shed as I've gotten older. And I'll give myself a pat on the back. I think I've done pretty good in that department. You know, just learning to put myself first and also learning how to overcome the spotlight effect. So as we continue along our journeys, let's be sure to not give too much power to those wandering eyes that we think are staring at us, when in actuality, their head is probably buried in their phone. You know that. But on top of ignoring the people that really are ignoring me, thankfully, something else has been very helpful to me as well. Music.
Performing the song Body from her current platinum album, Over It, here is Summer Walker.
I've been all in my phone, I got options, and I don't wanna tell you to drop it, 'cause I don't wanna play unfair.
Oh, I love that girl. Now, here's the thing. I would be lying if I said I wasn't physically attracted to Summer Walker. Obviously, we have those little innocent crushes on people that we'll probably never meet. But if it was like a pie chart, that's only like 3% of my affinity for Summer Walker. Number one, she has a beautiful voice, amazing talent, hell of a writer, hell of an artist. But even beyond all of that, there was a connection to her that I had since I first saw her in that video for Girls Need Love years ago. It was something about her nature, like just something about her glow, that kind of told me that she feels the world the same way that I feel the world, you know? And whenever we see something like that, whenever we meet people like that, we just naturally feel safer around them. She's one of them. And something happened not too long after I first saw her in that video that really explained it all for me.
I'm tired, okay? I'm motherfucking tired of the bullshit. Oh my God, what did I do? The social anxiety shit. I made a post, you know, and that shit was real. That was a real ass post, and at the most, like, no one even believed that I had it. Oh, man. Blah, 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 you don't have it. So then when I accept my Soul Train Award, I cannot even accept an award in peace. When you actually see me get my award and you see how I spoke on the stage, look, I sounded slow. I was scared, okay? Everybody else gave a long ass speech. I didn't, because I have social anxiety. This is how people commit suicide, okay?
Yeah, so basically she was being bullied after what some people called an awkward moment during her acceptance speech at the Soul Train Awards. Cora, can you cue it up?
Sure thing. Playing now.
Hi, thank you so much. I didn't expect this. Thank you, LVRN, and thank you, London on the Track. I really appreciate it.
And you know what frustrates me the most? I think what frustrates me the most, I didn't have to repeat that, I'm sorry. I understand the Tower of Babel story in the Bible. I get it. I told my mom the other day that it's one of my favorite images in the Bible. But it's the most convoluted to me because it feels like with just a little bit of work, a little bit of humility, a little bit of intellect, if you will, we could probably understand each other a lot more and we would be a lot more gentle to each other. Because, you know, even when I hear it again today talking to you, I mean, it wasn't that bad to me. Yeah, it was only 16 seconds, but it's like, I don't know if you remember it happening, but people were bullying the hell out of Summer Walker for that. And she was right. You know, she was noticeably overwhelmed by the moment. You know, she was even like kind of ushered off the stage afterwards. And I could tell, you know, just that she was kind of, it was just a lot. And what we should do as a society, and I'm not trying to get political, but if it happens, it happens. But what we should do as a society is just take a step back and understand that people process things and people process moments. People process memories. People process life differently. Like each case, each person is different. We're all different. Because what happens is like we start to bully people for things that they can't even control. And in her case, that pushed her off the stage for 3 years. 3 years she didn't perform. Still has been having a fire career. That just goes to show you how talented she is. But for 3 years she didn't perform because after this specific moment, she said she wasn't able to go on stage anymore. She just couldn't handle it. She didn't want to put herself out there so she could be bullied again. But, that did lead to this powerful moment for Summer and for fans. This happened last month.
To do it like that, it's all because of y'all, so thank you. So does anybody know this song? Y'all want to sing this song?
Yeah, Summer Walker took the stage for the first time in almost 3 years in collaboration with Amazon and Twitch for a live stream performance as part of Amazon's Black Culture Is initiative. Celebrating black artistry. And as you can hear, the crowd was just showing her so much love, man. And she was very emotional. I don't know if you can hear it in her tone, but she was very emotional, you know, because she said that she had been taking that time to, or she was going to take that time off to do some work to figure out, you know, how to manage her SAD so that it doesn't affect her career. And as someone who understands her struggles, but also someone who adores her, I was happy to see that. So the moral of the story is this. Well, there are multiple morals of the story, but I gotta go. I gotta do other things. Interactions with each other, every single interaction, I believe this. I don't have any science to back this up. But each interaction that we have with each other is either pushing them in the right direction or pulling them away from the best versions of themselves. The depth of our relationships with our loved ones usually push us towards making good decisions, not just for one of us, but for both of us, or for the three of us, or for all of us, you know? How we treat each other either helps or hinders them from climbing whatever mountain they're facing in their life right now. For Summer Walker, that was her particular mountain at that time was social anxiety disorder. And I'm sure she's still dealing with it. But with millions and millions of fans throwing all types of scolding comments at her because she gave a 16-second acceptance speech at an award show, I mean, how helpful do you think that is? You know? How, like, really honestly, be a little more gentle with each other. That's all I'm saying. Our ears are gateways just like our eyes are. And with every word you share with someone, with every piece of energy that you give someone, it can either be light or it can be poison. You know, I had a similar moment to Summer Walker, and except I would say maybe it was a little bit worse. Well, of course, because it's in my head, it was a lot a bit worse. But it happened during that break from the podcast, which I hope you see a recurring theme of why that 2-week break turned into however long it's been. I was on stage at the Meriwether Post Pavilion in Columbia, Maryland. This is like September, which is obviously 2021. Great show. I had a great time. Well, I had a great time as a fan.
We got to turn this one time.
You know it.
It's the city, girls, you know I like you. You don't get out of my face before I do. You know, don't you know, can't you understand?
I said,
if you f*** with me, I'll take
your face. It's the city, girls, you know. City girls is there. Yo Gotti, Moneybagg Yo. Well, Yo Gotti was a surprise, but you know, I'm a big Moneybagg Yo fan. 42 Doug was there, and a long list of other artists as well. Now, Future didn't show up, and at the end of the night, the crowd ended up throwing water bottles on stage. So, of course, that part wasn't fun, because we had to go out on the stage and stand there while the announcement was made that Future wasn't showing up. So that was a lot. But with station events, The station is supposed to host it. Well, even though this was kind of like a kind of station event thing, you know, I don't want to get into the particulars of that because I don't know how far I can go into those details. But put it like this, there were certain moments where the station was expected to put somebody on stage to host some things. And what's interesting about those moments is that they do end up becoming a pissing contest. And when I say that, you just have people trying to, like, you know, out host the other person. Like, when you have multiple hosts like that, it's kind of like a tense situation, an intense environment. And when it's worth it, I'm all in 110%. I'll give my very best and put a dub on the board for the team every single time. But a lot of times when I really step back and look at it ain't worth it. I mean, it's not worth it at all. I just wasn't in the space of trying to prove myself. I don't live there anymore. So, you know, I'm holding on to those thoughts as I'm watching this unfold on stage. Like, I'm standing there on stage while everybody's performing, and I'm just watching the mics be passed around, and, you know, it was kind of like war, which I don't know if I should say that now because of what's going on in the world, but it was kind of like, that's kind of what it felt like, you know, just, you go in, you do it, da-da-da-da, and it's just, you know, and people are saying things. And speaking in an environment that I had discovered years ago ain't necessarily my most comfortable place to be. Matter of fact, it's not even about comfort. It's just not my thing, really, you know? There's a 50-50 chance that if you're listening to this, you've probably seen me in the club before. Like, you know, DJing, came to one of my parties when I was DJing across the country. And you probably heard me say some crazy things. But I don't do that anymore, you know? At least I try not to. Once I've discovered that that ain't necessarily my thing, I'm, you know, I don't want to do it. But I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about the war that's going on stage. And I'm thinking about the business side of all of this and kind of, you know, where I stand with my current station and the ceiling of that and where I want to be. And, you know, I was just balancing a lot of thoughts. And in the middle of that, you know, the mic was kind of just put in my hands. And, like, you know, I was kind of ushered out there, you know, even after I had said, you know, I'm good. And it's okay. That's out of love. Like, you know, people don't know. I wasn't the most open about what I've been dealing with. I mean, hell, this is probably your first time hearing about what these last couple of months have been like for me. So I don't blame them at all, you know. They still don't know about any of this to this day. But, you know, I was ushered out there like a little kid being dropped off at summer camp at a camp that he ain't want to go to. And, you know, everybody, there's three other hosts on a mic and, you know, they're just going back and forth. And I could just, you know, talking over each other and stuff sometimes. And I'm just standing there, yo, on the stage, kind of just holding the mic. And I wonder how bad it looked. Like, I wish I could see it on video because I may be, you know, that whole spotlight thing. I may have had a little bit of that going on, even though I was in front of like 15,000 people, so. And there were plenty of spotlights on the stage, because that's what the stage is for, right? You know? But I was trying my hardest not to be awkward. So hopefully it didn't look too awkward on stage. But instead of like yelling, I think actually I did say one thing on the mic. I think, you know, I was like, oh, they ready over here. it was just, yeah. But it was a moment where I was overwhelmed. I wasn't overwhelmed by the crowd. I'm never overwhelmed by crowds. I was overwhelmed by the thoughts that surrounded the moment. And that happens sometimes. And I don't want to make excuses for it because I'm a professional, you know? So it's my job and my goal to do the work necessary to prevent that from happening again. I get that part. But if you don't understand SAD, I hope you can understand what that moment was like for me. I mean, because you know me. Standing in front of tens of thousands of people in the middle of an unspoken competition and a cold war, if you will, and you're fighting on a particular side, but you ain't, I mean, you don't think the war is worth it. It's like, what you out there for? What you doing this for? People are saying obscene things and, you know, it was just a lot. It was a lot to take in. And in the middle of it all, you know, I was kind of pushed out there to just do it, you know? It was just a lot. The environment was overwhelming for me at that point. And I hope you understand that people who deal with SAD are learning to deal with those environments while also trying to unlearn some other things and work out some other things. But a new friend of mine brought up a very good point surrounding not just that moment, but well, not that moment in particular, but surrounding moments like that. My goal should be, and what I hope for anybody else who deals with SAD, is to harness certain pillars around us that keep us sheltered in our environments that make us the most comfortable to be who we are. Some people have the natural ability to make every room that they walk into their room, to make every moment that they walk into their moment. Chemically, their chemical makeup probably will match that as well. But some people is not everybody. And the more work we do to understand each other, the more lives we can save and the better this whole life experience can be. Because, I mean, you never know. You never know. One day, you might need some support, too. So what are we talking about here? Well, for one, it's a little bit of backstory about how a two-week break turned into a couple of months. As you can see, I was dealing with a lot. But the main aspect of today's episode is for us to learn how to live with each other. It's for us to kind of take a pledge to be more gentle and understanding with each other in a time where, I mean, it's tough for a lot of people. I'm sure that just like me and Summer Walker and millions and billions and trillions might be a lot, but millions and billions of other people, you've had some changes that you've had to adjust to as well. But I thought a great way to begin a new season, a new chapter of this podcast, is to take a pledge to live together, staying focused on the goals and you know, looking good while doing it. I'm just saying. This is Live BW. Welcome to Season 7. Hopefully you enjoyed episode 1 of season 7. Be sure to get connected on everything social. Follow the show's Instagram at LiveXBW. And you can also connect with me personally on Twitter at BJamesLive. Coming up on the next episode of Live BW, let's explore a greener side of life. We'll hear from experts about the benefits of CBD, THC, and other cannabinoids, the risks, and the lifestyle in general. I mean, the industry's booming. So clearly the world wants to know. Next time on Live BW.
Live in a beautiful state.